The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Out Your Questions, episode 393. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Brett Murdoch.
What up?
And Brian Manjoma.
According to the Resident Evil TV show, you can communicate through Microsoft Paint.
Okay.
Nice.
By the way, I just learned about this Resident Evil show.
We did talk about it before.
I just learned about this.
You didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
We talked about it.
So me, Tony Polanco, talked about it.
We were talking about new shows coming. I've never heard of this until today.
I don't doubt it. I forgot about it. Because remember, we talked about how
Wesker was recast by and made into, I forgot the name, the guy from John Wick. Is playing.
I just learned it's Boyles.
Tony, you did pull Brett. You actually talked about this and then forgot about it.
Probably. I do this. You know, when I just don't care. I've done it too.
I'm right there with you, brother.
Yeah. So basically,
it's because for Bison it was Tuesday. That's why.
Because I've seen people talk about a Resident Evil show, but I'm just like, this is another fucking CG bullshit. Don't care. Right. And then I was talking to Taylor, right, from IGN, and she's like, oh, why are people upset about Wesker being recast as a black man? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, and then she feels like, oh, that's why I've been seeing Broyles everywhere. Then it kind of but I honestly legit don't remember even talking about this thing. Honestly, don't remember. But yeah, Resident Evil. There you go. So, Brian, is the show bad? Good. What's going on with this thing?
Oh, OK. I don't know, because I've not watched it. I've just seen other people making fun of it. Apparently, there's a joke about Zootopia porn in there. There's also a joke about Pornhub in there. And at some point, they have a quote-unquote Skype call using MS Paint while the thing is not even online. Because the Windows thing at the bottom says that it's not online. So, yeah, you tell me how bad that is.
Sounds like another video game adaptation classic. That's what it sounds like.
And then, slight spoiler alert for people who care. Apparently, it's just clones. Yes. Okay. Because nothing is as original as not clones. And apparently, everyone is just awful. But yeah, I've just heard that it's somehow worse than all the other stuff that came before it somehow.
Wow. Yeah, not surprised there. Anyway, there you go. I'll probably forget about this show again. Just like Manny forgets about Forspoken. You know, it just in one ear, out the other. Right, Manny?
And what was Forspoken again?
See, exactly.
You got to remind me because I know the name. I just don't know what it is.
It's that Square Enix game that's using the Luminous Engine with that, black girl.
It was Project Athia before it was Forspoken.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I remember.
Yeah. But it's one of those things where we don't care.
I mean, it's such a stupid generic-ass name that it just makes me... I look at that game, like, when I look at that game, right, I don't think Forspoken. You know what I mean?
You think Project Athia?
I don't think Project Athia either, because that's also stupid, too. Like, it doesn't... the name doesn't invoke anything. Like, oh, it's Forspoken. Like, okay.
Richard Bailey Jr. actually gave us a connection. He says the same actress from Forspoken is actually in the Resident Evil show. Okay, there you go then, people.
To be honest...
This is how professional we are on Throwdown. We make connections without even knowing it, you know?
So does she get to use her British accent on that one at least?
Yeah, well, she's from New York, you know. He's a
no. She's got a British accent.
No. You know, the girl, the Forspoken girl, like raised in the gritty streets of New York. Like, okay, sure.
I mean, the way she talks, she don't sound like she's from New York. She could probably be from Queens, the way she speaks.
Yeah, that's New York, man. You dissing us, man?
Nah, I mean, you know, they always say the mean streets of New York. Queens ain't that hard.
This is very true. This is very true.
You know? And neither is Brooklyn.
This bitch don't sound like she's from the Bronx.
The Bronx is the prison of all the boroughs.
The Brooklyn is, you know, let's just be real now.
The eastern Brooklyn half of Brooklyn is a hard one.
Most of Brooklyn now is all afraid that they're going to drop their lattes. Let's just be honest about that.
You know, because their pants are too tight, you know, and their designer mustaches
man.
And stuff.
Yo, man. Red Hook is filled up with a bunch of people with scarves on.
Yeah, well, that's
still saying that they hard.
It's when you go further down. Like, I mean, you still have Bed-Stuy and some of the areas. They're still a little rough out there. Fort Greene is still
Brooklyn. Barry, there he is.
And Coney Island still has their own.
Yo, man, you don't want to mess with me, East New York, Brooklyn. Where you at?
East New York.
I would have to say old New York has been sort of popping up as of late these days. We're going a little bit backwards up in New York now, you know, since bums are pushing people in the trains and shootings and shit. So.
Man, back crazy. To train pushing.
Yeah, man. Anyway, let's get into these questions, man. First up, we got Mob Hits. And his first question is, with word that the FTC, the same people who are coming after me, by the way.
Tony, man, you got to watch out, man. They're right behind you.
They're coming after me. With word that the FTC could potentially approve the Microsoft acquisition of Activision Blizzard as soon as next month, does this seem to be moving at super high speed? Is Microsoft pushing for this to happen this year rather than the middle of 2023?
No.
Has anybody heard about this? What's going on?
Did they forget that it was announced that was the latest? At latest, it would be sometime next year. Yeah. But they were, you know, they knew there was going to be steps and processes, and that's what the investigation and to find out in different countries and this and this and that, if everything was on the
other up. Countries. FTC is just for America.
No. There's another part of this. What was it? Was it France?
It was
France or something that they requested additional information when it comes to trying to form a monopoly in that area, if it was anti-competitive or something. I keep thinking France, because what I had read before was talking about this was France that was holding up. But once that comes back, then the FCC does the final assessment. Like, let's say if there was a jury and they were talking to everybody, it's like, all right, what's going on? What are we doing? All right, we're all good. Okay. And it's that thing. And if that gets finalized, that last part, then there it goes. Yeah, August. But that's just the deal being finalized. Then they still have to. We don't know if they're already doing it now, but doing all the prep work on the back end of like, all right, are we dumping these games? What games are not going to be part of this service? Which games are we forgetting? We don't know if they're even bothering with any of that. That could still take place next year. So people thinking that, oh, that means in mid-August we're going to see all the Call of Duties on Game Pass. Diablo and all that doesn't mean that. Maybe some of them they could, but I don't know if they're going to work that fast on a day like, oh, guess what? It's been finalized and poof. Like now, that's what people were saying even with the Bungie, with the PlayStation thing. Once they saw that, Xbox, everybody say goodbye to Destiny. They're going to pull it. They're not going to pull it. It's still going to be there. So
yeah. So basically, if it does happen in a month, that's not too fast at all. It's like within the timeline.
It still took time. They just had to get all, you know, the paperwork done. And there was investigations. The FTC and other countries had to go and see if this is okay because their studios are impacted from all the other studios that were in those countries. That's all connected again. So they had to clear it up with all those areas. And it looks like they're down to one. At least according to that report, there's only one left.
Yeah,
and that's the one that's coming in by August.
Yeah, their target date was always by the end of the fiscal year, which is by the end of March 2023. So this, you know, all of this going on right now is just formalities that of any potential hiccups to the acquisition. Mm-hmm. These are just steps that needed to be taken. I don't expect them to be like, only you're not going to be able to acquire Microsoft, or I mean Activision. So, yeah, expect it to go through.
And people forget that these companies have legal teams. Full rooms of a bunch of suits, and you're like, oh, who are these? These are all the lawyers. They've already strategized and planned this out. So they know. It's not like, oh, you have the money to buy it? Let's just go buy it. And then like, oh, wait, we have to fill up people? Wait, we got to talk to people? They knew way in advance.
You mean I got to pay them?
Yeah, exactly. What? I got to pay. Wait, who do you have to grease? Oh, that guy? All right. We'll Venmo him. We'll hook it up.
You know.
We'll get this shit straightened out. Because there was no doubt that this was going to happen. I mean, I think till this day, in my mind, if anybody can remember, there's only been one major acquisition that's never happened. And I think it was that AT&T one. Was it AT&T that was trying to buy Time Warner Cable? And there was something, it was a big deal, and it was going to happen, and then it didn't. It just fell apart. It was Time Warner. Yeah, it was some type of Time Warner deal.
Yeah, with AT&T. No, yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about.
Remember that? And it just didn't happen. But I was like, shit, that's the only time ever. Besides that, we've seen banks merge. We've seen, remember, where's WAMU? WAMU got gobbled up. Remember that?
Yeah, they were
everywhere. All of a sudden, they got gobbled up. Yeah, so these deals usually come to pass once they're set in motion.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't say anything suspicious. Because I have seen some people going, oh, what's going on? What's going on? Is Microsoft greasing the wheels? Like, no. Like, again, people always have to look for these conspiracy theories and shit.
Of course, because they're bored. That's it.
Probably the same people who were like, I'm not making this up, were tagging the president to stop the deal because there's a monopoly. I am not kidding. Joe Biden, please stop this. PlayStation guys, you know?
Oh, please.
Crazy. Yeah, anyway. Moving on to the next question, mouth hits. Is the survival horror genre being recycled too often now? I wonder what he means by this.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Explain, Brian. Whoever said yes.
I heard somebody
say yes. That was me.
Oh, go ahead, Brian. Go ahead, please. Because I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's just the formula is being abused, kind of like the Assassin's Creed thing. It's because horror games are relatively easy games to make. They don't have super complicated systems. They usually run on a difficulty that is, you know, fairly easily artificially managed. You know, you have 5 bullets and 7 zombies equals panic mode kind of thing. So the problem is, a lot of, more indie game companies, or even big game companies are using this as a way to kind of pump out a game that's kind of low effort. And that's what I mean by this. You see big companies throwing these things out in terms of like, oh, here's a Jason game. Here's an asymmetrical multiplayer game where, you know, we're just doing horror stuff. And you see a bunch of indie games being like, oh, it's a dark psych ward hospital and you have to, you know, solve these puzzles. And we're like, I fucking get it, man. It's just, other than Assassin's Creed, I would say the survival horror genre is the most overplayed kind of game cliche type.
Yeah, can you give us some other examples of games that are recent? Because I'm honestly asking, I don't know.
I mean, give me a minute. Not off the top of my head because I generally don't play these, but I can pull the list here real fast.
Yeah,
let's see. I don't know. I mean, we've seen a few different ones. We got the Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Extraction. That was the
Is
whole
that
thing.
Survival
with the,
horror.
That's
though?
A horror. Yeah,
no, that's not
survival horror. Horror.
Yes, because that's horror. That's scary shit. You can't make it out. You get cocooned. You have to go save your guy. You lose him. You lose a whole character.
Yeah, cocooned.
Yeah, he gets cocooned in the creature, and you can't get him out. And you
that's
gotta move
not
your
survival. That's horror. Like
it's
Resident
you only
shit,
have.
You know?
It's a shooting. It's a shooting game with some horror elements. It's
only,
not really.
You only have limited ammo. You have limited resources, so it's not like you can just run and shoot everything that moves. You can't. You have to be quiet. You have to do stealth. You have to use your drones, or your little robots, to figure out if there's creatures in that room. So you have to lock doors. What do you mean? That's the whole point of it.
I mean, you do that
it's
in Metal,
not,
and you do that Metal Gear, and that's not a horror game.
Not, but these are creatures that are taking over bodies. It's an alien invasion. Aliens are scary. You don't think aliens are scary?
Extraction. Could be cute.
Is that the name of this thing?
Extraction. Yeah.
Let me look up.
I know.
Yeah,
I know the game. It does
limited.
Definitely have horror.
Yeah, if everything is limited, it's not like It's not like like a Gears or something. I wouldn't call that horror because it's like, oh, there's ammo everywhere. I can run and shoot and the whole thing.
No, I mean, don't you see? Don't you see as being scary? The you know,
they got monsters. Not like this.
They got cocoons.
This is close quarters, and I can lose my characters for freaking.
Tell Coltrane's wife about cocoons.
That's Dom. Dom's wife.
Dom's wife. Yeah.
And Dom died also. Come on, man. That's not nice talk Ill of the Dead. That's just like,
Brooklyn Bear says it's horror because it has a Ubisoft logo on it.
Oh.
Okay. Hey, Tony.
Yo, what's up?
You're not going to recognize many of these, but here's a quick list of 20 survival horror games that are coming out this year.
Jesus, 20.
Martha is Dead. Yeah. Choo Choo Charles. Dying 1983. Scorn. Unholy. Evil Nun, The Broken Mask.
That was creepy.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Dark Moonlight, Madison, Instinction, State of Decay 3, Phobia St. Dinfa Hotel, Nemesis Distress, Sons of the Forest,
State of Decay 3 is Invincible,
Evil Dead the Game, Outlast Trials.
Evil Dead the Game is not survival horror.
No, but it's asymmetrical survival horror.
Those kind of games.
Stalker 2 and The Callisto.
Yeah, Callisto is definitely survival horror.
And some of those are legit games. Yeah. Like Choo Choo Charles is about a demon train.
I don't think Scorn is a survival horror game. It looks like a horror shooter, but not a survival horror.
It could be survival horror, but thank you for that, Brett, because I was honest, but you're right. It's like shit. Because I recognize every other game there. I'm like, oh shit, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
That Martha one looks fucking creepy.
Yeah, Martha, that game's crazy. They censored on PlayStation, I believe.
We got the Phobia review up on the Coalition. We want to check it out. It's on the front page. That Phobia was a scary one.
So I guess the verdict is that there's too many survival horror games?
Yes, that's the question.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
There's just a lot of them. I would say there's too many of any games in this day and age.
Abandoned.
Oh, I mean, think about this.
That's a survival
horror. But here's the alternate version of that. I mean, the flip side is if we don't have that, we end up with a bunch of Back for Bloods, you know, or World War Z, where it's just running and gunning and killing. So it's scary, but it's not survival. You're just mowing everything down. So where's the middle ground, I guess? Where is that middle ground if we don't go full survival or we go full run and gun and just kill anything that moves?
Yeah.
What would you look like in the middle?
I don't know. None of these games.
Right.
How about that? But whatever. Richard goes, the developers have abandoned their own game. Yep. And I heard it in his voice, too. Oh, yes. All right. Let's move on. Another question. I'm letting the three questions ride because we didn't get a lot this week. But I understand there's not a lot going on in the industry right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Also from Op Hips, what game would or wouldn't work as a 3D platformer? For example, Ori and the Blind Forest is a 3D platformer. I think that would kind of ruin it a little bit, you know? Like, that specific game, you know?
Yeah, that game. Some games are just, you know, lend themselves to 2D that, you know, kind of like Sonic.
I was about to say that. Sonic, you know, perfect example right there. Although, Ori, I know, it would be different feel, you know?
Yeah, because, I don't know. I just see, like, the platforming, like, you know, shooting up and grabbing into the little parts that you grab and stuff, like it just doesn't seem like it would work in the 3D environment. Yeah. So what was the actual question?
That was the question. What games would or wouldn't work as 3D platformers?
Oh, from 2D to 3D?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or which?
Not Ori.
Yeah, not Ori.
What games that wouldn't work?
Would or wouldn't?
Would I got one that I think would and. You know, this is something we talked about, I think, before. Metal Gear, the original NES version. I would like to see that get upgraded.
Well, they did. You know, it's called Metal Gear Solid.
No, but it was a different game. It was a different game. I want the same exact, like, just...
Yo, Adam, do you remember playing that game with a specific person in the panel back in the day?
I do. Yeah,
we talked about that on Thursday, but you
were here.
Forza could work as a 2D game, right? Top side or whatever. Or like Outrun.
That would be like, what was that one? RC Racer. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun. I got one.
RC Pro-Am.
Yeah, RC Pro-Am, yeah.
And I got to admit, I don't know if they've made this 3D. I wouldn't be surprised. But Trials seems like a game that could work 3D as well. Maybe they already made it.
Man. I wish
they were a game literally called Trials 3D.
Or it could be. No, yeah,
that's HD.
Oh, that's Trials HD. Yeah.
HD. Gotcha. Yeah, I wish the best that, man, it would be like Freestyle. Do you remember Freestyle? The it was part of that EA big thing, but it was dirt bikes, and it was like you're doing all the crazy flips and tricks like you would do in the Trials ones, but in a 3D environment on the maps.
Yeah, Brooklyn Bear said Contra, so would or wouldn't?
Shoot, man, I feel like we already got a bunch of them, just not labeled Contra.
We had 3D Contra, it's called Gears of War.
Yeah, right. You got that. We got G.I. Joe even did a third person one. Remember that one for the PS3?
And 360? Yeah, I remember Hip Hop Gamer gave that a good score. That's when I was like, I don't know about this. Yeah, dude's score.
That was the new one they did wasn't good at all. That Blackout.
It was a ID number 9 doesn't work as a game, period, Brooklyn Bear.
Damn.
Mega
Man could probably work. I could go.
But they're not platformers. They're
you know what I
mean? Side-scrolling shooters.
Yeah.
Maximo. Remember Maximo?
I remember the
ghouls and ghosts. Yeah. That I didn't think that was gonna work. I'm like, how are you gonna take a side scroll and turn it to, and it worked perfectly. And then they abandoned it. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I never played that in 3D. Maximo 3D, like
it was cool. It was like a different character, but same thing. You get hit, your armor goes off, you have your undies with the little hearts and shit.
Yeah. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay, they're saying Contra wouldn't work as a 3D game. Like I said,
look at all the combat shooters. I mean, yeah, we got Army of Two and all that. Come on, that's the same thing. That's an
upgrade. Yeah, we got what's that one called? Nex Machina. It's like a top-down 3D shooter. Which, you know, it's it's what I would imagine what a Contra game would look like. Kind of, I mean, Contra, Metal Slug, like all those games kind of worked like that.
Yeah.
Beautiful
Joe. I don't know about that in 3D.
Beautiful Joe.
Oh, bring that shit back, please, man.
Who owns that? Is it Capcom. Ubisoft? Capcom. Oh, it's Capcom.
Yeah.
What about Cuphead?
Cuphead? No, that wouldn't work.
Leave it alone. That shit is kicking my ass.
Of course, Brian had to say that knack. It would work as a 2D game? Yeah, it could work as a 2D game. Why not, you know?
It could.
It definitely could. You grow big and shit, you know? I'm done.
Well, I got another one. Braid would work well as a 3D game. I think it would be harder to do as a 3D game, but I don't see why. Like the main principle of the main gameplay loop of that game is the whole time travel or revert back to time. So I don't see that not working on a 3D environment.
Okay, I just realized that what I thought was Blade cosplay I've been seeing on Twitter was actually Wesker. From the Resident Evil show.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right. There you go, man.
Got to see Broyles.
Super Mario 3D World wouldn't work as 2D. The 3D aspect, I mean, that's what Paper Mario is, though, isn't it? You know?
I don't know. I mean, like, Super Mario 3D World, I mean, it's Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, no, but he's saying
it's Super Mario.
He's saying the 3D aspects.
No, I completely disagree because I mean Super Mario 3D World is essentially just a 2D game with like in 3D, like you know, like Mario Galaxy and Mario Odyssey are kind of like the 3D like versions of Mario, but Super Mario 3D World is like a compromise between 2D and 3D.
But 3D World has those levels that are kind of top down sometimes, with top sound ish. You know what I'm saying?
The ones on the side too.
Yeah.
Like,
it's both.
But actually, I mean, it's still not. But the thing about it is that you have those top down levels, and you still that's an isometric view.
Yes. Yeah. It was a joke. No, I'm taking that shit seriously right now. I'm conceptualizing this right now. I'm gonna go with because like again, the 2D Mario games has really enough part Paper Mario kind of do that trick, you know, with planes and shit. So those are kind of already exist in a way. Capcom needs to be sued. Wait, what? What is Jay Septic? Capcom needs to be sued with all the games they sitting on. All right. Move on.
Damn, they're sitting on too many.
Yep. Oh, we got a bunch of questions now from Eurocar9. What is this?
Who is this person?
And Adam, all these questions are directed at you.
Oh shit!
Are you going to take the hot seat?
Rapid fire! This is the ChemLab 13 show now.
Yeah, no rapid fire. You take a long.
I heard. You know, Eurocar told me he's like
Hill hour.
your card told me, he's like, I hope Adam's in the show because he's missed like the last 10. Oh, they call those, they call that the Adam Dungeon.
Yeah, we got here last Wednesday, last Sunday. I missed Thursday though.
Look, yeah, no, you've been gone for so long. We were gonna get Brooklyn Bear to replace you. Holy, as a permanent shit. Guy. Oh, you know how we do it, or we keep it in the family, damn, man.
It's fucking Gears, man. That takes too long.
Don't play before the show.
We started early though. That's why I started off. I was like, all right, we got 2 hours. This should be fine in 2 hours. And then people started dropping off, and it was going longer and taking longer. I'm like, fuck. And we didn't do it. We still lost. Way 40. Yeah. What a waste.
All right, so all right, first question for you. What do you think about the skate news, specifically that it's a live service free-to-play game?
This is whack, man. This is whack. Because really, you know, some people were like, oh, okay, I get it. No, you don't get it. Because that means that now everything is going to be behind fucking paywalls. It's going to be like, oh, you want, I don't know, let's say Zoo York or whatever, PAL boards or whatever. They're going to charge you for that, nickel and dime you. So what are we going to get? We're going to get a bunch of open areas and some maps or maybe a map editor. And then everything else is going to be separate. You're going to have to pay for that. And we're seeing it with the Diablo. It's the same thing. It's like, yeah, it's going to look good and it's going to have that fundamental that we like, but I don't want a nickel and dime for everything. I want a solid game. And yeah, if you want to start selling microtransactions, go ahead. That make it optional. This is not making it optional if you do it this way. It's going to be needed to enjoy or have the full experience, because you're like, oh, I want this boards or I want these wheels, or you know, it's definitely going to be with all the cosmetics and all that stuff. It's I'm not looking forward to it. And then with the skaters, we don't even know about if they're going to have pro skaters. They may not. I wouldn't be surprised if it's like, hey, create your own guy, because it's just called Skate now. It's not Skate 4. This is, they're just saying, hey, this is going to be an open world, free to play, and see where it goes from there. Which tells me that they really had no faith, EA on the back end, had no faith of making another one. And this is more like, all right, you guys kept bitching about it. We'll give you something, but now you're going to pay for it.
Oh, shit.
You are going to pay for it. Open your wallet, because this is all on you now.
Open your wallet and turn around.
That's it. Exactly. That's it. You ready? I'm going with the thumbs. That's what's going to happen. Giving you the butterfly.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All yeah, right. That's a rough one. Rough cut. Yeah, yeah. But you know what? But this is what I saw. When I saw, I couldn't believe it. And then it came from The Verge. Right, I mean, when this pokes up in my feed, I'm like, what the hell? This can't be. And then even the wording though says that they're saying that the natural progression would be to go for free to play. It didn't sound like it was definite. It sounded like, because it's way off. People don't understand. This is not even coming out next year. Okay, this game is like, even when they posted a video a few weeks back that, hey, don't forget, we're still working on it. It was very early. Like, they are starting from scratch. A lot of people thought, oh, just take what you had from the old one and then just build on it. No, they're starting from scratch, new engine, new everything. That's going to take time. That's all going to take time. You know, hell, that studio, I think Black Box, they're not even around anymore. You know, the studio that made the Skate games.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah. So
I found that line, like, skeevy. Like, oh, it's a natural progression. No, it's fucking not. Get out of here with that.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So it's like, all right, so you're saying that, but it didn't sound definite. And maybe they'll listen to the community. Maybe it's not. It's EA. So who knows if they'll listen to it. I'm really hoping that they don't go down that road and they do have a box version, because then at least we know there's a bunch of content included. And then you'll add all the tech on there. It's fine. You can have it up the wazoo. Buy all kinds of bullshit. All the other games are ready to do it, but at least there's a game there. You know, and that's the problem. I don't think it's going to be cheap. Free-to-play games are not like they used to be, where it was like, oh, they're a dollar. They're garbage. No, they're all high-end now. A lot of these are high-end because they realize if they make it high-end, you can pull people in, and then hopefully they get hooked to the point that they want to buy all the other tchotchke bullshits. So we know it's going to be quality, but I want content already in it. I don't want to have to feel like, oh, it's free to play, and then wow, just to get what I would normally get in a game, I have to spend $80-$90.
Yeah. It's bullshit. Real quick, I gotta give a shout out to Blitz, who made a very Richard Bailey Jr. like joke right now. He said they should have called this game Cheapskate. And Rich acknowledged the joke, so perfect.
this is upsetting. But you know, and then when we found out in the chat, what I did, I sent you a picture of a Tony Hawk smiling, because that's not the route that they're going with. And we know that once this deal is done, Microsoft is definitely going to open that studio back into effect with the whole thing of making them. Because right now, the plan was, we got Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. remakes. We were going to get 3 and 4. Didn't happen. That team got put on Call of Duty and some other things. But there's a demand, and we know they can go back and then just bring that in. And that'll be a full game. I don't ever see Tony Hawk ever dying out to the point that we're just going to make a free-to-play. We're just going to go like that route, too. No. But it's a shame that this is the skate game that people have been hoping for, and this is what we're getting. Where it's just going to be like, you got to buy everything.
This is the equivalent of, like, you know, when you've been waiting for a game to come out for a long time, and then they tell you some mobile fucking game or some shit. It's like, what? What?
Yeah. It's sad. It's really sad. It's really sad because this is, like you said, this is what people have been waiting for. They've been asking for it. And then it's like, when we saw that video way back a few years ago, when the devs was like, we heard you, we're doing it. Early stages, but we are going to make a new skate. Yay! You know they had this planned out already. They were like, all right, well, we're going to just make them pay for it then, because we don't want to do it. And I looked up the sales numbers. It made money. It made over $10 million. It made dough. It sold. So I don't understand the problem here.
Well, think about it. Burnout fucking Paradise sold like gangbusters.
That's what I'm saying.
Also, what's the connecting factor here? EA.
Yeah, it's EA, and I don't understand. It sort of reminds you of like the whole thing with Square Enix, where they were like, "Oh, Tomb Raider didn't make money; it made fucking millions," but that wasn't their goal. So, what's EA's goal for these type of games, through these genres of skateboarding and arcade games? What are they expecting? I don't know, but I tell you this much: a lot of sport games always get put on the shelves. But back when people would look at shelves at GameStop, right? You would always see all those lined up. But Burnout, I rarely saw that ever, because people keep that because there's a lot of replayability. Same thing with the skate games. There's a lot of replayability on these things. So I don't see the problem. I don't know. It's upsetting. It's upsetting. So all I could hope for is that the outcry is loud, they listen, and they change things up. Because it's way off. It's not like it's coming out next year. I think they're talking about like even another 2 years out. So maybe 2024. Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. All right. Next question for you. What do you think about the PlayStation Stars rewards program?
My Microsoft reward points. You guys know I make $5 to $10 a week from the Microsoft rewards. I'm always talking about it. I'm always doing it.
That's called passive income, people.
Yeah, exactly. I'm showing people how to do it. It's free money. I feel like the dude that was in the infomercials with the question marks, remember? It's out there for you.
Matthew Lesko.
Yeah, exactly. And people don't believe me. And then I show them how it's done. And they're like, yo, I did it. Well, too, you know, and it works.
It's funny because it seemed like when I first read about this thing, this sounded like the Sony rewards program that they used to have. Remember that back in the day?
Yeah. It sounded like
took advantage of that shit, you know?
Yeah, it sounded like another one. But then when I started looking more into it, they didn't say it, but they sort of did, because they said you can earn enough to purchase in-game stuff. So there's going to be some kind of, I don't know if they're creating a new currency system for it, or are they going to, because remember for a while, Microsoft on the 360 had a point system. It wasn't actual money. They were using weird point. Oh, this costs 300 points. What the hell is 300 points? And it's like, oh, well, you had to put $6 in, and then that gets converted. But you always have money left over, or there's always something in the balance. You know, and then they dropped all that, and they just made it real money, like how much it costs. So like this point system, on the Microsoft, for those who don't know how it works, is that once you do a series of things, whether you get 50 points every day for just getting one Chivo in any game, and then there's one for Resident Evil, for example, right now, where it was 75 points. And what do? First, you get the punch card. Second, you open up Netflix. You don't even really have to, you just view Netflix. And so third, go and click on this other little link. It's all in within the tab, though. It's you don't have to hunt it down. Click the next one, and they'll take you to the Microsoft store showing you all the Resident Evil games on sale, and then poof, there you go. You go back, you got 70 points, 75 points, and there's a bunch of these, and they vary depending on the day and the week. Some can be 4,000, which equivalent to like $4. So it adds up, and it's great if you pay attention to all of this. And that's how I was getting $5 to $10 a week from this. So then now to see that Sony's doing it, they didn't really say how much you're able to earn.
Yeah, they didn't say,
They didn't say, they didn't even say, but they did say that you can use your earnings to purchase in-game content. And that's the thing with Microsoft. But the thing with Microsoft's is that you can pile it up, and you can not only use it on the Xbox, but you could use it for the Microsoft Store. So if you want to get a new Surface tablet, or if the Xbox ever does come in stock, you can buy it from there. You know, you can do it on anything. So Sony has a store too. Their Sony Store reward site, the reward zone. And so maybe if it's all linked together, that'll work the same way. So if you boost, then you can do all this other stuff. But I don't know if it's going to work the whole way, because the other thing that Microsoft has is that they have their own browser, which is a Microsoft Edge. And they give me about, let me see, they give me 100 points for surfing, viewing a bunch of sites. You pick whatever you want, keyword searches through the Edge browser on your phone, mobile. And then they give you 150 if you use Edge on a PC. And this is daily. This is like your own little chart. So you get a total of 250 points daily, plus 20 just for opening it up. Right, and that's guaranteed. And then there's a bunch of little quizzes and things, and that varies, you know. But either way, it usually adds for an extra 100. So you're looking at about close to 400, 350, around 400 daily, just from using the web browsers on your phone and on the PC. And you could also use the browser that's on your Xbox, because Microsoft Edge is also there, and that also counts as using it on a PC, which is awesome. So there's ways to boost, and that's the fastest way, because people are like, how could you do this all from the console? Well, you can't. You got to use all the features, and that's all listed on the Microsoft Rewards page. I don't know. It's still early with Sony. If they're going to have something like that, similar, where like, oh, you have to go to Sony's website, view the blog, or you have to go and retweet something of a Sony, you know what I mean? They could try to do something like that to try to boost it up.
Well, right now, what I understand is it's just going to be purely based on the games you play. It's like none of that other stuff is involved. It's just you play games and you get stuff, you know?
What is new? That sounds, well, another thing is that it sounds like they're introducing the perk system, which is also part of the Microsoft Rewards. If you open up the Game Pass app, it's really linked to Game Pass, you'll see there's a perks. And the perks is almost like what you see with Twitch, with the Amazon Twitch, where you go to the crown and you see all the things you can get. Same thing. Like there's one right now for Assassin's Creed Origin. It's a perk that it boosts it to the deluxe version. So you just download it and then poof, and that's just for being an Ultimate Game Pass member. You just get a free upgrade to the next tier of that game. So I'm wondering if that's tied to this new premium, because a lot of this stuff also said there was stuff linked to the premium service of the PlayStation. It's not going to be for everybody, at least the way they word it. And we have to see it all laid out, because which version? There's three tiers. Right, you got the regular one, the plus one, and then you got the second tier, and then you got that premium. So are all these, because the other thing that they mentioned for the new features is something that we don't really have now, but we used to have on a 360, where you beat certain games and you get little like cosmetics for your avatars and stuff. It made it seem like you're going to get something similar. They're like, oh yeah, complete certain objectives and you get custom images and stuff. I'm like, for what? You got rid of themes. I love themes on my PS4, and that's gone. You know, I wish we can bring that back. But what are we getting, unless it's going to be valid in-game content? Like if you beat something you'll get, I don't know, extra points for something, or you'll get a special weapon or outfit. I don't know if it's going to be something. But that sounds interesting to see how they're doing it. But do they have a date on when they were going to launch this? I didn't see a date.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
But either way, it looks like they saw that this system looks like something that can work for them. And they're going to implement it in their own way. So they are making a lot of moves. Look at this. We got new tiers. We got their own version of a Game Pass thing. We have now their own version of a rewards. I mean, what's next? What else could they do? The last thing in my mind is start throwing some first parties. That's it.
Just day one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Day one. If you do that, then there you go.
Here's something interesting. This isn't a first party, but you know that game Stray, the one with the cat? If you're subscribed to the second level tier, you get that game on day one. Interesting, right? Third-party game, but you still get it day one.
So now here's it. Well, this is something I was thinking before that with the premium. So on Game Pass, you do get third parties day one. Back for Blood was third party. Yeah. That was day one. Extra. So I wonder, are those going to carry over as day one also for the PlayStation Premium? So it'll be day one on Game Pass and day one on PlayStation Premium. If you
I think it's going to be different games. you know, because they want to be competitive, right? Like,
but hey, that's what I'm saying.
We got this game. Oh, they got that game. You know what I'm saying?
See, so then at some point and behind the scenes, someone's greasing the wheels.
Oh, of course, always.
You know, it's always going to be so. Yeah. Before, when people are like, oh, you're putting on Game Pass, you're not making any money. It's like, oh, no, they're making their money. Because besides just that, now they can throw the numbers like, well, Sony's got their own service like this, too. So do you? How bad do you want us to put this game day one on your system? Yeah, we know you're paying us an X amount for the downloads. We get that. We get that. But you got to give us a little more because they're willing to do it too. And they got a higher install base right now. So what are we doing?
Yeah, by the way, whose fan is that in the background? This is pretty loud. Even the fan. There we go. Thank you.
That's me.
Okay. Thanks for that. Yeah, because it's
a good. But either way, I'm excited to see the whole thing. But let's just see. Let's just see how it goes. But for those that don't know, I mean, yeah, this is just like the Microsoft Rewards plan that's out there. So.
All right, cool. All right, Adam, the last question for you. This one is kind of game related. Eurocars, I don't understand the purpose of this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
It's a sensible dude. I'm pretty sure you made sense.
I mean, I get it, but I also. It's almost gaming related. I'll just say this, it barely gets there, but anyway, let's get into it. What does Adam think about influencers taking over the WWE instead of wrestlers? You'll need to explain that to me. Do you think that WWE games in the future will be primarily influencers instead of actual wrestlers?
I think he's talking about like the Logan Paul joining. Is that what you're talking about? He's in the game. He's going to be DLC, I think, next week. It's coming. Or is it next week? He's in the last one. Him and Machine Gun Kelly, he's also in it.
Is the Machine Gun Kelly the guy who's fucking Megan Fox?
I don't. He's the performer of music.
Yeah, the answer is yes.
Okay, thank you. That's the only time I've heard of this guy, you know. You're talking about the old Machine Gun Kelly from, you know, the gangster.
And he popped up, like a handful, not even less than a handful of times WWE, and he got thrown to a table in one of the moments. I don't know how he's in it, and Bad Bunny is not, because Bad Bunny actually performs and trains in wrestling, and
what, buddy?
Amazing. Bad Bunny, the rapper.
Okay.
You ever heard of Bad Bunny? No, Puerto Rican rapper. Puerto Rican rapper from San Juan over that thing. He's really good. He's all over the place. He did a song about Booker T.
Okay, and no, Booker T,
it's in Spanish. Right. So he did that, and he had Booker T in his music video for it. And he's a huge wrestling fan. So they say, hey, you want to do some kind of cross promotion thing? He says, yeah, but if I'm doing this, I'm doing it all in. So he took time off from his tour to go and train in the performance center for a few months to learn how to wrestle. And he actually performed at WrestleMania. He did an amazing job.
The rabbit guy was in WrestleMania?
Bad Bunny.
Okay.
Bad Bunny. Yeah. He did it. Yeah. So he's really good. So that's it. So I don't know who else you're talking about. I mean, there's not really anyone. That's the only Paul one. I mean, Logan Paul is the only influencer, YouTuber that's linked to all this. Now, he's getting a lot of heat. He wants to come in as a baby face. People are booing the shit out of him every time he comes out. You know, and they're trying to do everything they can. And it's funny because they have him feuding against The Miz. Miz always gets a lot of heat. Everybody hates The Miz. And everybody's hated The Miz because he comes from Road Rules. Remember? All the way back in the 90s. Until this day, it's like he still doesn't get recognition as a wrestler. Meanwhile, he's been there for decades. Yeah, so it's just find it ironic that this is how they bring this dude in. And so now they're trying to get him to feud and get the heat, but no one cares. And he apparently wants to be a baby face. And also it's more of WWE wanting to bring him, because doesn't he have like some ridiculous amount of subscribers on YouTube? It's like over 10.
Yeah, Logan Paul is
he's got
they follow him anywhere he goes. So yeah,
there you go. So I for the longest time when we first saw this, we thought it was a stunt, because he's been in and out for a few years now with WWE. He'll come in for certain events, he gets the shit booed out of him.
Isn't he always fucking boxing people, or is that the other one?
It's his brother. Him and his brother both do it. Okay. They both did some boxing. So I don't know which one. I think it was his brother that did the big money fight with Mayweather or something. But either way, they both do these things. He's part of this now. He signed and he's there. I don't think this is going to be a trend. I know that there's one other YouTuber that a lot of people are hoping jump into wrestling, but apparently he is an indie wrestler who is working his way in. I forgot his name. Big black dude. You know, and a lot of people are hyped on him, hoping he gets in. Don't know why he hasn't had a tryout if he's already performing on the indies and stuff. Because at least he's on that level. Logan Paul just was a fan who wanted to do it. And now he's training. And he did do some stuff. He's doing moonsault and stuff. He's trying. I give him credit. He's going to try to do it. He's not going to try to bullshit it like, what was it, the chick from Jersey Shore? What was that Jersey Shore girl? The little Chilean girl. What's her name? Snooki. Snooki. She came in and they had her at like Roar Rumble or something. It was horrible. I'm
sorry. Yeah.
I imagine in like 10 years, you're going to be playing WWE 2K32 or whatever is going to be out that year. And most of it's going to be just non-wrestlers, like playable in the game.
Yeah, no, they've always had a handful of non-wrestlers put in the game just for, you know, shits and giggles, like all certain characters.
But back in the day, the wrestlers were overwhelmingly the main draw of the game.
Oh, no, it still is. It still is. Like we just said, we have Machine Gun Kelly and Paul. But here's the thing. They're just DLCs. They're not the focals. Now, the day that we see one of these fools on the front
the box cover art,
yep, yeah. That's when it should hit the fan. That's when I was like, that's it, we're done.
And I see that day pretty soon, man.
I don't know.
Miss Cleo moment I'm thinking about.
Right? I don't know. For example, the UFC game, UFC 4 just did an update. I don't know why they did this. And I guess this is a new thing now. Maybe you guys have seen this before where the box art for the game on your console changes. Have you seen this on any of your games?
With like updates and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like they just changed it completely. I'm like, I didn't recognize. I'm like, who is it? And they put some faces of some dudes. I have no idea who they are. So I don't know who they are. I guess they're fighters, but they keep changing it. And so who knows? Maybe we may see a version. Like they have Hulk Hogan edition and they'll have a special one. If Logan Paul blows up and makes it big. Oh, but maybe you're talking about Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee is a big part of WWE.
That's another one.
That was a kicker, the NFL kicker or punter, right? And then he had his own podcast show, and he's also like a big wrestling fan. And then they brought him in for some stuff, and he's an amazing talker. The guy he's comedy, love him, and they gave him a full time job doing color commentary. And then he trained as a wrestler, and then they put him in the ring, and he's amazing in the ring.
Oh,
and I'm like, holy shit! To the point that they even put him in a ring with Vince McMahon. And he had, that was, remember at Mania, I think we were tweeting. I was like, yo, Vince McMahon's about to have a match. He's in his 70s. You know, it was nuts. Of course, it was a squash. They had other plans. But he turned out to be a solid performer. But there's another guy who's out of the wrestling world. And then, of course, the most famous of all of them, who took a stunner, who's done a Luthez press. And that is Donald Trump. And he's in the Hall of Fame. And he jumped in there and he wrestled. So a bunch of people could say whatever they want, but the dude took a stunner in the ring. He's attacked Vince McMahon multiple times, you know, and it was comedy to watch, you know. So, yeah, we've seen outsiders come in and actually want to get involved. So, but I don't think they'll ever be the front and focal point. It depends. If the McMahons, if they lose power and with all the scandals that are going on now and the board take over, who knows? They could do whatever the fuck they, you know, I mean, look what happened with the UFC. They got rid of all the advertisers. It's all Reebok and it's very streamlined now. And because it's a conglomerate of companies that now own it, it's no longer just that one family. The brother, he's still a president. They kept him on as a president, but yeah, he's not the big boss like he used to be with the Zuffa brothers. Zuffa brothers.
Interesting. All right, man. Thank you for answering all those questions, man.
All right, thank you. Gotta go. Bye.
Gotta go.
And what you just heard is a preview of WrestleCast.
You know, coming back. All right, man. Moving on here. We got some questions from Mr. Kishak, who's been joining us tonight in the chat. All right. He goes, what are your thoughts on Final Fantasy 16 not being turn-based? And then he quotes Yoshi P, the director. We actually talked about this on either the last Thursday show or the third show before that. I think it was the episode where we had Riku on. Riku was very upset over this quote.
But 15 isn't turn-based. So what's the problem?
Yeah, like we already knew. Basically, the quote the director was saying that games that look so hyper realistic, they don't look credible when they're turn based. At least that's what he thinks the fans think. But the thing is, even without that, you know,
I don't know about that. Like
that's
Dragon,
also that's also I think he might be seeing his numbers in a different location, because I mean, like, you know, Final Fantasy, only 10 didn't look super realistic, but it was, you know, it was a lot more realistic than...
That's literally the example Riku used. It was what Riku was on. Yeah. My thing is, like, if this is something we've said in general, turn-based games are not as popular as action games, you know?
Turn-based games are not conducive to the general audience.
Yes.
And that is what they are trying to attract. Granted, it's not like general audience where it's like, you know, everybody out there, but it's the general sort of gamer. Like, if he starts to get a little bit, you know, a little bit more calculate-y, you know, where you have to do numbers and math and you're sort of doing that thing. And I mean, I would use the best example would be Tony back when he was younger.
Yeah.
You know, where he was like, I don't want, you know, his tastes in games were very more action oriented, and when it came to having to wait for actions and stuff, that wasn't something he was interested in. I feel like that's the same for a lot of general audiences when it comes to, you know, or gamers when it comes to these sorts of games.
Yep.
I think they're more acceptable when they're action adventure sort of games, where, you know, you're actually hitting the button and then you actually do something, as opposed to, you know, strategically waiting for something to happen.
Yeah. By the way, we're not saying that turn-based games don't sell. They obviously do. We're just saying that games sell more. You know?
Yeah,
just,
you look again, at...
We generally... I mean, there's obviously some differences here, but generally speaking, most of the guys on Throwdown, I'm talking about me, Manny, Chris, and Carlos, we like our turn-based games. But we recognize that action games sell more. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, Kingdom Hearts wouldn't be... Kingdom Hearts is as big as it is... because it was literally an action game.
Yeah,
it literally as soon as that game, not only because of the whole Disney shit and the Final Fantasy stuff in there, but it's the fact that it was just so open. It's very easy to play, and I think that's what the biggest thing is.
Yeah. So again, we've had this conversation many times. No need to retread it. But yeah, action games just sell more. That's just how it is.
It's unfortunate.
About graphics, I don't buy that part. I think that's a little
graphic thing. That's stupid.
Yeah,
because that doesn't make a lick of sense. Turn-based games can be look like anything you want them to be. In fact, I would say a turn-based game would be actually be a lot, a lot easier of a game to do, because you don't actually need to worry about actual fucking controls.
Yeah, turn-based games, I find, at least like a Dragon and Persona 5, relaxing, because you got time to think and strategize.
It puts you into a different mental space. You're not trying.
Yeah, even if I'm low on health, I'm like, all right, hold on, let's take a look at the items I have. What can I do that no one's
even Like a Dragon is a little more general audience action-y, friendly than more action.
Yeah. I mean, it is hardcore turn-based. You can't do anything outside of it, but yes, it is more action-y. Same thing with Persona, very flashy even though it's turn-based, it feels action-y, you know? So that's just generally how it, obviously there's always exceptions. I realize the Like a Dragon is the best-selling Yakuza, but that was already the trajectory that the franchise was going in to begin with, you know? Again, that's what I'm going to say. The exceptions to the rules are not the rules, you know? Mm-hmm. That's just
by the way.
Yeah, go ahead.
Something you guys mentioned earlier kind of triggered a thought with me. You guys mentioned Riku, and I'm curious if Riku... Shout out to Riku, by the way.
You know?
I wonder if he's going to get a Steam Deck.
No, he's obsessed with his other handheld. Ever since the Steam Deck was announced, he's like, hey, buy this instead. I've been rocking with this. You know, and it looks like a fucking laptop that small that you can play like a controller. It's really weird, you know?
I just imagine Riku, if he would have gotten a Steam Deck, I would just imagine him like, finally, something I can watch movies in.
No, he's been I forget the name of it, but he's been swearing by this other device for like
interesting. A year
now. Now is it
the PC one? Brian, you know what he's talking about?
Yeah,
it's the IO one. Is that the Iowa one?
No, I think it's the GPD Win 3 is the one I was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I asked him about it like when he came on that one time, and he said that he has no interest in the Steam Deck because he's so deep in the other ones. It's like, okay, cool, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, if people that have a Steam catalog, like all of us pretty much, I mean, it seems like a no-brainer because we have all our games already there.
Yeah.
And then if you add all the other launchers that we can, like pretty much the PC realm, I don't think he's into any of those things, right? He's always been a PlayStation dude, right?
Yeah, he's been a PlayStation guy, yeah.
He's always like been talking about like the weird small PC things like for some time, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, in recent years, but like historically, he's been a PlayStation guy. But yes, in recent years, he's gotten into more PC stuff.
Because the only time I ever heard him on a handheld was that PSP. Remember, he was still rocking.
Vita,
Vita for life.
Vita.
Well, if there's a popular JRPG that's not on the PS4, PS5. But it's on Steam, then Riku's going to play it there.
Yeah. I wonder if he has a 3DS. I don't know if he went there, because there's a lot of JRPGs on there. Anyway, let's move on to the next question here. Also by Kiss Shack. Oh, Brett, I think you're the one that needs to answer this one. Are you ready? You're probably the best suited. Let's make sure I see him muted. Brett, are you there, sir?
I'll answer for him. Fallout 76.
Because Chris ain't here, so Brett would be the one. His question is kind of a morbid question, but when the day comes that Miyazaki passes from this world, do you think the Souls community would accept another game like Souls or Bloodborne without his guidance? I'm guessing. Okay, there you go. Brett, you could answer this question perfectly.
I mean, yeah. It depends on how faithfully they kind of adhere to it. But I think that he's teaching people. And obviously, by the time he passes away, like, people will have worked at the company a while. I don't think this is a company that, you know, hires people on and lets people go. I think the people that have been there for a while. And I guess what I'm saying, he has to have a protege of some sort. And I feel like anything that they would release after his passing would be super respectful. I mean, fuck, they'd probably put an abundance of, like, bare feet in it just because they know that was his jam. And swamps.
Yeah, I guess maybe the question is born out of, you know how, like, Miyazaki didn't directly direct Dark Souls 2, and people were kind of iffy on it. Maybe that's why he's asking that question.
It wasn't as good, but he was kind of distanced from that. I don't think he had the best team on it. I think I think this is gonna be kind of a Studio Ghibli situation. It'll be kind of the same.
Would it be Miyazaki?
Miyazaki too.
Yep. Well, that's why I was gonna say it's a Miyazaki. Wait, I can't say it. Studio Ghibli situation. It's something like, it'll kind of bear some resemblance, and it'll be the best we have. It won't be the same, obviously, but I think the Souls community will just be happy for what they have. I mean, the Souls community really is, they're one of the weirdly least toxic fan bases that I've seen. They're generally just happy and grateful and excited, which is fucking weird, but it is what it is.
Say that because we actually had a question about a couple months ago saying, why is the Souls community so toxic?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. Which I don't understand that question. Like, none of my experience has been ever since game. I don't think any of you guys experienced
hostility. Really. I mean, there's those usual trolls, like, get good noob, but no, it's playful, you know? I've never seen any outright, like, you know, I'm going to say the PlayStation guys on Twitter, those motherfuckers are toxic. You know, the Souls community, not really so much, you know? They're just playful.
I mean, honestly, even the get good, like, I know it's kind of inappropriate, but, like, the whole idea at the beginning of that was that, you know, you need to get good. You need to practice. Put in the time. Become familiar with your...
Brett, you're cutting out a little bit.
Become familiar with your weapons, movesets, things like that. Put in the practice, put in the time, and get better. That's, you know, it wasn't saying, like, oh, you suck, or... The whole idea at the center of the beginning of the whole get good thing was that anybody can, right? Like, you just have to, there's not a shortcut there. You just have to get good. There's no way around it. You can't do this, you can't have a special sword or anything like that. If you want to get, you just have to get better at it. And the core part of that is that you can. You know, it was never, you suck, you fail, give it up, blah, blah, blah. In fact, the whole community kind of bands together and tries to make sure that, like, everybody finishes the game. So even when they're being weirdly like aggressive, it's an oddly wholesome kind of aggressive.
Oh man. All right. Moving on. Oh, the last question of the night. Told you we didn't get a lot this week. All right. By the way, people, forgive Brett's mic situation. He has no PC right now that works, you know, so that's what you get.
Wait, what happened to this PC?
It's dead, right, Brett? Like, your PC's just...
It's old as fuck.
Yeah, he needs a new one.
Wait, yo, Tony.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of questions that I see here. I don't really? Know.
There's only one here left, man.
Did you get through J-Ship's questions in Tumekis?
I didn't get those at all. Please toss them in. I didn't see those. No wonder. Remember, people, after 10 o'clock, I don't look at these fucking things, you know?
They were right before 10 o'clock, so that's probably why.
Toss them in after Annihilator's question. All right, good, fantastic. We got more show. All right. Annihilator, are cross-gen games a blessing or a curse? I say neither, you know? But it also depends on the situation, right? Like, right now, I would say they're a curse, but they're not because we can't help it. There's some, you know, we got this fucking global shortage bullshit going on right now.
No, we could. We could help it. We could help it.
How?
There have been games that have been held back specifically. Cyberpunk. But it's a great example. That's just never.
Right, you're cutting out hardcore, man. I don't know if you could do something.
Am I really? Man. Yeah. I'm pushing out my headphones.
Yeah, because we want to hear the rant, you know?
All right, hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yes, let's hopefully it'll stay good. So go ahead.
Okay, I'm gonna stay in one goddamn place. No, man, like, we should not have been holding games back that we have already been, right? Like, the idea that, like, there's the pandemic is somehow responsible for that, I'm pretty sure is fucking corporate lip service because it doesn't make any sense. The reason they put them all cross-gen was to sell more copies, beginning, middle, and end, right? They could have released them for the PS5. They could have 2 years ago, they could have been forward thinking. They're like, we're only going to have PS5 games out of the game. And we really want to push this PS5, but they didn't want to. Now the pandemic comes in, they didn't want to because they're having supply issues.
Yeah, you're sounding bad, dude.
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, because I know you're trying to get a good point across, but it's like brutal.
Yep. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Let's try this.
That sounded way better.
Yeah.
Really? I just pulled my headset out, but all right.
Maybe that's what it is. I know, but it works. Fuck.
The pandemic, the only thing that really affects is the number of PlayStations out in the wild, and thus the amount of money that they would make from releasing generation exclusive titles. So, I mean, you're kind of right, Tony. Not in the sense that they couldn't have done it, because they totally could have fucking done it. They just wouldn't have made as much money, and that's probably an unacceptable answer. But we are here because people wanted to make more money. That is the end goal.
But Brett, you know what the ironic part is?
What's that?
Miles Morales sold more. Remember, when it originally came out, there were only 2 million PlayStation 5s sold more on PS5. Horizon Forbidden West has sold more on PS5. Basically, any game that's a PlayStation exclusive that's cross-gen sells more on PS5. So,
people want a game for their new systems. I mean, fuck, this is Black Flag. Like, I don't have a PS5 exclusive game, so at least give me a jacked up PS4 game so I can see what this thing is fucking capable of.
Yeah. But isn't that ironic? Like, the executives were like, oh, there are this many more PlayStation 4s, therefore we got to make a cross-gen, but it never manifested that way at all.
Yeah, well, you know? It just seems another one of those situations where if you look at it in one way, in one light, what they did makes sense. But unfortunately, that's not the light that is the reality that most of gamers actually fucking live in, right? Like, you want to sit there and look and be like, well, if there's more PlayStation 4s out there, we're going to sell more for the PlayStation 4. That's common math. But you're not taking into account the mindset of your fan base, the people who are excited to leverage this new technology and are kind of starved because of it. I feel like that shows a fundamental misunderstanding of the mindset of your customers, which is kind of the base problem that we're having the whole industry right now is people don't seem to understand things like, oh, people hated my last game. Maybe that'll affect the sales of my new game. Or my new game sold 10 million copies. That's fantastic. Everybody kind of said it sucked, but clearly everybody loves it. No, everybody doesn't fucking love it. Everybody loved your last game. I don't understand how people can't connect the dots on this stuff, but they need like a professional fucking customer to go work for these companies. Because they're the ones that would tell you, hey, here's an idea. release a game for that new system you released.
Yeah, they just got to develop them in advance, you know?
No, they've developed them. And then half, like 2 years ago, they went, you know what? We need to make sure that this runs on the PS4 too.
Well, right? we can't just say they did that, Brett. We don't know if that's the case.
We know for a fact, at least with Cyberpunk, that they were trying to bottleneck that thing into the PS4.
Yeah, for that game,
they didn't care if that shit burned down. And you think that's the only one?
No, but generally speaking, you start with the lowest common denominator, then you build up. Cyberpunk
does who?
That's how most developers do it, dude.
Yeah, that is. Okay, so if the average game takes 4 years to develop, their original timeline should not have included making sure that this thing was going to be able to be out on the PS4. Right? Yeah. That was a decision that was made a couple years ago when pandemic hit, and they realized that they were going to have supply issues. And some games, you can tell with them. Other games, they were always going to be that way.
Yeah, well, with Cyberpunk, they specifically said PS4 when it originally announced. They did say that, you know, just to be fair.
Yeah.
Although I completely agree the game should not have come out for those systems, but they did advertise it for those. Just get that out there.
I'm aware. I'm just saying that, do you think that when you're taking a game that the PS4 can barely handle, right? And most of the time, it doesn't. And you're telling me that the original plan was just released out of the PS4. Like, you didn't see the fact, the specs of the system that you're running it on, the specs of the game required, were dangerously close to each other. You didn't see that shit 2 years ago?
Probably did, but then the higher-ups were like, no, get it on that system anyway.
There we go. That's, you know? That's the point where we finally agree, Tony. I think there's where we meet. Yeah, it could have been done, but the higher-ups were like, nah, make sure this shit runs on the PS4.
Yeah, the higher-ups, I'm telling you, man, they fucked things up. You know, and that's also why Cyberpunk and Halo came out before they were supposed to come out. I know Halo got delayed. That shit's been delayed another year, you know? It's fucking crazy.
That one was so, oof. They tried to delay it, and the fans were not have. Shame on you / us, Xbox fans. We really should have let that one bake a little bit longer instead of getting all pissy about it.
Man. All right. Moving on here. Next question. This is Jay Shep. I haven't edited these, so if they're fucked up, that's your fault, not mine. All right. At this point, nothing can save GameStop but divine intervention. But why hasn't there been a modern arcade that utilizes the opportunity to sell new and used games to customers while they drop in to sample games, trade used games for tokens, and eat nachos and candy bars, all while they empty their wallets? Seems like a no-brainer to me.
Because places like that, people get shot up.
People don't want to go to places like that anymore, man.
No, man, like, you know, like, as far, like, I know it sounds like a wonderland, and, you know, it used to be real cool. But there's some motherfuckers that there's some motherfuckers out there that like to ruin people.
You remember Barcode on 42nd?
There's some motherfuckers out there that just want to ruin a good time. Mm-hmm. So now, I mean,
now hold on, I agree with the state of Dave and Buster's. That place is a shithole. Also, licensing has just ruined that. The only things you can play are really cheesy,
giant cell phone games.
Yeah, basically, they're like, oh, you have Candy Crush and basketball and skee ball. What the fuck is like the lamest arcade ever? But there is kind of the reemergence of the classic retro barcades.
Oh yeah,
There is those, but those are more set for, you know, those are for adults and all that stuff. The Dave and Buster's is supposed to be for everybody, the family.
I like how Tony goes to barcade a lot of times, but he never plays a game.
Don't play no games.
I don't.
You call yourself a gamer?
I'm not a gamer. I do it all for the money, you know. I got a quick story about that. This was like 3 years ago, right? Torrance was in town, so me and Jeffrey went with him to Barcade. Torrance played a bunch of games, so he gave me a shit ton of tokens, right? I've had these tokens for 3 years. So then the other day, I went with Jeffrey, one of his homeboys, and he went to play a game. I'm like, yo, you want some? I'm like, I'll take a couple for you. I'm like, no, take them all. I'm never going to use these things. So I gave him all my tokens, you know? Like, I go to chill. I'm not trying to play no games. I do that at home, you know?
Dude, 12-year-old you is like flipping out right now.
Yeah, well, 12-year-old me's dead, you know? And now we got 42-year-old me.
Whoa. That's a controversial statement there.
You know, I don't know, man. I mean, we're also playing games, so I mean, part of our youth.
No, but it's like when I go to this bar, I'm not trying to play no games. I just want to chill and drink, you know?
What do you mean? You were doing tournaments and fighting some dude. And like,
oh, that was not a barcade.
That wasn't a real tournament, though.
Yeah. It was a little thing, but it was in barcade, you know?
And also, wanted to clarify, Dave & Buster's is still like super popular.
Dave & Buster's
it's always packed.
It's always, because you got food. The games are just, you get like coupons and shit. You get a meal and you get like a bunch of money on a card. And it's like,
By the way, Jay Shep, since you're in the, it's the question, why don't we have modern arcades? Is that how he's just saying,
why can't you just combine arcades
and buying games and stuff.
And buying games into one place? I mean, the one thing about that is that who's to say that the people are going to take care of the machines? Yeah. You know, you see what those GameStop units are like, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to tell me that, you know, or what happens when the PlayStation or the Xbox goes on the fritz? They don't fix those shits. They just leave them there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also you got to be careful about what type of business you want to run. Like, do you want to be a business that sells video games, or you want to be a business that, you know, sells booze? Because I think that's Dave & Buster's. I think that's what they make most of their money.
Oh, yeah,
at selling booze.
That's and what I'm saying. They just give you a card that's for to play the games. The games is the secondary part. It's about the food and the booze and watching the TV and watch the sport games.
Mm-hmm, yeah, most of those games are trash too, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to look in the back to find Pac-Man, you know.
Yeah, I go there for the skee ball. So I like skee
ball. So I feel like, you know, if you put, like, just think about Dave & Buster's, and on one corner you have a kind of a GameStop kind of shop where you can buy all those games. I just feel like it's two different things trying to chimera themselves into one being. And he's sort of talking about
the idea of demoing games that, you know, it sounds cool, you know. At the same time, it's like, again, I feel like the way society works currently can't sustain something like that, you know.
Well, and it bumps heads because one is trying to get you to come and stay and play, and then at the same time they're selling you stuff so that way you don't have to
come back. Yeah. So right. It can be one or two. Well, it's got to be one or the other.
Here's Street Fighter 6, and then on your way out, you'll see, oh, you want to buy it? We sell it, and you can take it, play it home. Oh, then I'm not coming back. Thanks.
Yeah,
that's
the business model between Bar and Barcade and all that other stuff. Really, the business is not the video games.
Yeah,
the business is the food and the drink, and keeping you there.
Speaking of Barcade, one thing that I've always wondered every time I've gone with you guys there, I always think about, for us, Barcade is cool because it kind of, you know, obviously there's a lot of booze and food and stuff like that, but, you know, the whole arcade stuff is part of our nostalgia.
Yeah, like the ambiance, man. Mm-hmm.
But the, like, when we go there, there's younger people, like, you know, kind of college aged, kind of in their 20s. These guys, that's not part of their nostalgia.
It's a hangout. What do you mean? It's just a hangout. It's part of the atmosphere. Just something that's there. It's just there. Do you remember going to coffee shops that had chessboards and checkers and stuff on the side?
Yeah, but I played checkers and chess when I was a kid.
No, but some people just like to go in and drink and do nothing. It's just part of it. Like you said.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I just always wonder, like, I wonder what they think when they see, like, an old Street Fighter game, you know, arcade cabinet or a Pac-Man.
They think that it's time to go buy some vinyl records. You know, that's what they think.
Those are just
trying to get that feel.
To be honest, a lot of the nostalgia that's happening nowadays for the stuff that we grow up is actually quite coming from a lot of the people that are a generation younger than us.
Yeah.
You know, they're buying like old VHS tapes and old VCRs just because of the. Because it's fascinating that the world was like that for them, for us. Like, I mean, you'll see people buying record players these days, and they have a whole new business of record players.
The VHS people, they'll rage quit just like we did when it starts eating their tapes.
Yeah, right. You put this pencil in there and shit.
Exactly. And I'm like, wow, now I get it. Now put this in the garbage like all the others. we walked away for a reason.
Good stuff. All right, next question here. From my understanding, it may take 5 to 8 years to make a great AAA game. Usually 4, though. How hard is it to create a great game within the window of that target's generation trend? In other words, if space horror games are hot in 2023, how hard is it to capitalize on that trend when constructing a new game or should that be the end goal? Yeah, we've seen this a lot, right? Like, for example, we'll get like a live service game like years after. Like, Outriders, the perfect fucking example. Yeah. This game came out like 3 years after, you know, the Destinies and the Divisions were popular, you know? So, yeah, you got to kind of act fast, because if not, you're going to be like a relic. You're gonna be like, what the fuck? What is this?
Well, doing? That's... You know? That's essentially what killed Cliffy B's gaming career.
Yeah, exactly.
Lawbreakers and all those.
Exactly. He tried to jump on that same thing, but it's like, this is already past, bro.
Well, you think about it. We even heard that when Proving Grounds was out, and then we found out about the Fortnite, and it was like, yo, you're late. I mean, these dudes are already dominating. Battlegrounds, that's already, sorry. And then they're like, oh, wait, we'll make it free, and we'll get rid of this, and we'll do it. And it worked, so... Sometimes you just got to change it up a little bit to jump ahead of everybody. I don't know. I don't. Is Outriders? I know they still have content coming out.
They just came out with a new DLC.
That's what I'm saying. So people are still playing it. I just don't know if it's burning up the charts like it used to, or like any of the other
figures. I've never burned up the charts. Begin with.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. It was free for a while, right?
It came out on Game Pass, I believe.
Yeah, it was. That was a day one. That's right. That was a day one on Game Pass.
Yeah. But yeah, no, some games, you know, we've seen it, they missed the mark, and they just seem like relics. Like, what the fuck is this shit?
What were you thinking?
As a matter of fact, even to say Cyberpunk as well, you know, the UI in that game is like of older open world games, you know, because that game's been in development for so long.
Well, what was it? Oh, just all linked to that. During that same Sony press release about, welcome to the family for Bungie, they were talking about adding 10 new open...
We talked about that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, how
live service games,
live service, how are you planning on pulling that off?
I don't know. We discussed that on the show, and we're all very skeptical about it, you know? Because it seems to me like they're going to throw 10 of them at a wall and hope one sticks.
That's it. Oh, yeah, we're going to get a lot of crap in that.
If they get one, that's all they need. If they get one Fortnite, they're good, you know?
That's why everybody makes all those free-to-play games, because it only takes one to be the next freaking Apex or whatever, you know, Overwatch.
Yeah, exactly, man. All right, moving on to Mickey. All right, couple questions here. He goes, I know the Deck Boys are hoping people will care enough about their new toy to ask questions. Yes. Since no one is asking, I guess I will. Thank you. Appreciate that. This is a cool one. What has the Steam Deck changed about your gaming habits? Has it made you go from console to PC, couch or desk in front of the big screen, to now playing more on the handheld? Carlos, I'll start with you first. Has it changed your gaming habits any?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be my dedicated system for essentially indie and 2D games.
I can't believe you just said that. That is sad.
It's, why is that?
Because it's got so much power. It can do so much more, and you're just going to play it down. For that, play a Switch.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing.
No Nintendo No Nintendo tax.
There's no Nintendo tax. There's, you know, I have...
Get Binding of Isaac for $2 instead of $60.
I think we went over this a couple of shows ago.
Yeah, we did, but Adam wasn't here, you know.
The Adam tax. So here's the thing. I fucking love the Vita. I played a lot of JRPGs. I played a lot of, you know, side-scrolling 2D platforming game kind of things. And when that was dying, I always wanted the Nintendo Switch to be that console. And obviously the Nintendo Switch ended up being what it is. And that's where, you know, all of those hopes and dreams kind of went to the Steam Deck. That's where I told Tony that I think I differ with him on this. When it comes to gaming, is I don't like playing indie games on the big screen. I like playing my blockbuster AAA or AA games on the big screen. But playing games like we mentioned Braid earlier, or you know, maybe something like a Journey or an Ex Machina or a My Friend is Pedro. I don't want to play those in the big screen.
You remember Pedro?
Manny, you remember Pedro? I know, Pedro. Or even like a Samus Returns. Yeah, Samus Returns is something that I would rather play on a tablet or whatever the thing is. Obviously, I didn't like playing it on the Switch because I cannot stand those the Switch controllers, the Joy-Cons, Joy-Con boys. So, you know, the Steam Deck is going to be sort of my resource for that. And also, and shout out to the Steam Deck. Also, you know, I'm playing, you know, I started back the Legend of Heroes Trails in the Sky game, the second chapter. And that's an old game that looks, you know, it's a JRPG, a turn-based JRPG that is kind of outdated in graphics-wise. So it's not something that I want to play on my screen. And also, you know, to flip it in reverse, when I want to play something like Cyberpunk, although it's pretty freaking cool that I can play it on my Steam Deck, and it would be definitely an alternative if I have nothing else, or I'm on the go, or I'm somewhere, you know, I'm on a roof deck or something like that.
Roof deck.
I would definitely play it. Yo, man, they're coming soon. That's something I would definitely do there. But I have a pretty souped up PC with a badass, you know, ultra wide monitor. I'd rather play it there.
Yo, man, you mean you don't want to play Dirt 5 on your Steam Deck?
I see what you're saying. And that's the reverse for me. I want the power. If I want to play all them, I don't, like, even on my Switch, I don't play those. I play the AAAs that are actually ported over. I'll play the Dying Light and all those on there because that's what I want. I want the experience. So with the Steam Deck, I want to play God of War on there. I want to play those type of large games. Titanfall 2. I want that experience in my hand. All the little ones, I can play that anywhere. I want to be
wild. What do you mean, little ones?
Little ones.
Yeah, little
ones.
That's right. You know.
So, I mean,
he goes. Do you guys have emulators, or are you waiting on Adam?
Or J-Shep. I'm pretty sure you already know the answer.
You will see. So for those who don't know, mine's expected tomorrow.
Shit! They giving birth tomorrow. Let's go.
I've already got a bunch of guides. I got a bunch of things. I'm looking to put my PS3 on there.
All the good.
The whole thing there, of course, Game Pass and all that, and really get into it. Because my goal is to get the PS3 up and running, and hopefully Dolphin running on there, so that way I can play my Rockstar Tableton. Yeah, and,
is that Dirt 5?
Yes, Dirt 5. On my screen. See, Adam.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Let me see.
Yo, shit, there you go, man. Fuck,
Dirt 5. Games. There you go, racing.
It's running at 60 frames on my end, though. God damn. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dirt!
Yeah.
So that's Steam Deck.
That is the experience. Now, like you just said, I like playing it on a big screen, the TV. I do. But this will be like my second place. You know, we did the God of War, did on that. I have no problem playing it again in my hand. That would be awesome.
Whoa.
Yeah, excuse me. I do that too. Let's all go for it. It's party time. You know, so.
I do understand that if you're doing second playthroughs, then yeah, it's pretty cool to do it on you know, on the handheld. Like God of War, like you mentioned. But I'm curious, like, let's say Gears of War 6 comes out.
Gears.
Are you going to play that on your TV first, or are you going to play that on
the Steam Deck? That's going to be a double dip. I'm going to do both. That's going to be a double dip. That is going to be on the console, doing it there, and then also doing any. I've already replayed Gears 5 three times, and now I'll probably do 4, because I'll do that one on this as well.
I forgot to change the preface of the question. Uh-oh. When you abandon me in Gears 6, is that going to be in the tablet or is the Steam Deck or on the?
No. You're definitely going to be there because
you sound like a woman, man. Just saying.
Yeah, hopefully, we.
I sound like someone. I sound like someone that's been abandoned. And Hassan wasn't there to do it.
Yo, you can jump in. We always need nice heads for hordes, as you see, which caused me all these problems. We still can't beat it. So if you want to jump on, we can jump on. We'll be on tomorrow night. It's Monday nights.
So would your preferred? I get that you're gonna try it on everything.
Dutch is gonna be first. Don't ever put down Dutch.
I was about to say, man, Dutch. No. You're gonna be cheating on Dutch?
No, because he knows Hugo isn't gonna really bother him.
And Hugo
is his name. Hugo is getting hooked up. Hugo, he's gonna be with me. We're gonna work together on a bunch of projects, and I plan on doing a whole section over at the Coalition. And I'm going to break that down. I'm not going to be doing a review. Everybody's done reviews. My whole thing is emulation. I'm going to try to run every damn emulator, and I'm going to do segments just on those emulators, how to run it, what games run on it, and to get the best performance out of Steam Deck. So that is going
to
be my
thing. Yo, shout out to Pit Beast 5150 for falling.
Right.
Adam, that's actually brings up a good question. I thought So you're going to be the one covering Steam Deck for a coalition?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Nice.
So I already talked to Rich. We talked about it. He's all.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, 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 yes. That's a good idea. And it is.
It's a great series.
I see everybody like, oh, yeah, you can play this. Yeah, yeah, that's great and all. But I want to see the high-end emulation. I want to play those heavy games. There is an Xbox 360. There is an Xbox One. There are emulators out there, and people are making those work. There's certain games, not all of them. Well, which are the ones that work? Well, I'll test it out. I'll let you know which one. And then that's it. That's my goal. Those are my plans.
You'll keep it going, man. I'm about to win this race.
But
in all seriousness, though, to answer the question, hasn't changed my gaming habits. I don't game anymore. Oh,
oh it's
no, but, yeah, no, but I,
do you
I
play it on the go at work? Do you play it at work? Like, you know, like,
oh, I've had to for, you know, for testing and shit, you know, but I can't just whip it out while I'm freaking working, you know. No, I can't do that, Adam. You know that.
Do you, anybody at your job have one too that you could try to do multiplayer co-op?
Not that I know of, but I mean, I'm not writing anything about Steam Deck at the moment, so there's no reason for me to play. But I've always said this about Steam Deck. I bought it more for, because I want to support what Valve is doing, you know what I'm saying? And to, you know, throw a middle finger at Nintendo. But I'm probably not, this is why I bought the middle version, because I'm not really going to be using this thing. I'm not really much of a handheld gamer like that, you know, because then I like playing every game on my TV, and indie, AAA, I like playing games on my you know, TV, but I had to respect this thing. This is fucking dope.
Yeah, no, this definitely.
I had to buy it. You know, yeah. but maybe Carlos,
FOMO was real.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I had to buy it. You know, but and Carlos, I may give what you're trying to do a shot. Like, I mean, because you know me, I don't really fuck with indie games like that. Maybe I'll try to play some indie games on this thing, see what happens. Maybe I'll feel differently about them. You know. Playing some Binding of Isaac on this shit, because maybe it'll be more worthwhile. Because, right, like trying to play something like that on your big TV, you know, I like my TV. I don't know. So I'll give that a shot.
So,
yeah.
Tony.
Yo.
One thing that I noticed with my Steam Deck, and it's not, you know, specifically to the Steam Deck, it's just convenient on hand that, like, I'll pop on a movie or I'll pop on some TV and then I'll pull out my Steam Deck, fuck around with it. So, you know, you throw on that show that. You've seen a million times in the background.
You know me, bro. When I watch TV, that's all I'm doing. I'm not doing anything else.
Yeah. You know? I mean, not necessarily you, but like, I don't think you rewatch. Do you rewatch the same TV and over again?
Nope, one and done.
A lot of people do that shit. Like, for some reason, people will be on their like eighth run of The Office. I mean, if you're
anything like Cheers and Frasier a bunch of times, I'll keep.
I don't rewatch shit. You get one chance, and that's it.
See, if you're anything like me, and I would imagine, at least partially, Manny, like, if you have the TV on while you're working, you kind of run out of stuff to watch. But like,
remember, we talked about this off air. I can't have...
I'm not talking about you. Yeah, I'm not talking about you.
You did say that. I'm talking about
the hypothetical person, all right?
Okay, sure. So,
hypothetical person, Tony, rewatches stuff. And if you're anything like Manny and I, or you have the TV on in the background, you don't have, like, this... huge backlog of like I have 2, 3, 4 things that I'm like interested in actually watching, and there's all the shit that goes on in the background, right? So there are some days I'm like, man, like I just kind of want to like I don't want to sit down and fully commit to just being like I'm gonna fucking video game. It's a Friday night, I'm tired, so I'll just, you know, kick on some TV, hang out with the dogs, like play my Steam.
You got more dogs? You got more?
No, just the two.
Brett, I'm not disagreeing. I you know, for more other people more than me, obviously it's a great utility, you know. You don't need to sell me on Steam Deck. I already bought it, you know.
No. My point here is the way that you play is this weird hybrid of like, unless you've had two screens before, and not many people have had two screens, you know, if you're playing a PC, and I think this is where it came from too. You know, I used to play Halo and watch movies when I was a teenager at my friend's house, but also you're playing Warcraft or something like that. You're playing some online game. You're playing a computer game. Fuck, even Civ. You put on Civ on one screen and like Netflix on the other screen kind of thing. And so you have this kind of relaxing two screen kind of thing that honestly doesn't organically happen all that much unless you're really trying for it. Or again, you have a multi PC screen setup. The Steam Deck hits that niche, right? So if you want to kind of casually game, or, you know, play some Binding of Isaac, you know, drop in, drop out while something's on the TV because either you're watching it or somebody else is watching it. I think that's where the Steam Deck really shines. not even necessarily like, oh, this is great to take out of your house. It's great to take around your house. And I think that's where the magic space for it is.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said this thing's fucking magic. Look, I'm playing Dirt 5 on this shit. This is crazy.
You want those that high-end experience in your hand is amazing.
Yeah,
this and also the Steam Deck games. And the whole thing when I put in Cyberpunk on the Steam Deck and it was running at 30 frames, I'm like, oh yeah, this is special.
Yeah, the fact that it runs.
That's it. On any console is a special.
I was playing the Steam Deck and that song came out from it was like this magic moment.
You know, good stuff, man. All right. Yeah, what's up?
Oh, see this?
Yes, it's a keyboard.
This is where a computer monitor is going to go, so I can sit back on this big ass couch and watch that big ass TV while gaming to the right on my side PC, so I can rock out some Command and Conquer while I'm watching Netflix.
Nice.
Wait, on what PC?
On my PC? On my PC?
There we go. Good stuff. All right, and the last question of that here, with many hailing the Steam Deck like it's a second coming, do you feel dedicated gaming hardware so has a long future, or will it go the way of the Dodo and be replaced with the shit show known as streaming? Seems even Microsoft is not sold on streaming as the answer given statements made recently. Here's the thing about streaming. It's not okay. Somebody wrote this, and I agree. Streaming is not going to replace your regular game. It's just a supplement to it. You don't have to worry. Streaming is not going to take your games away. It's fine. It's just a supplement to it. You know. And Adam, I just remember you. Did you say this during the show or before the show? No, you said during the show where like you could play the game locally and it like drains in 2 hours, or via the cloud, you get an hour and a half. Why not? Yeah. It's good to have more options. You know. Yeah.
Exactly. So especially if, let's say, you're out and about and you're in an area with a decent Wi-Fi, then you can just stream it from there as opposed to just burning off your battery life on your device. So if you have that option, why not do it?
Yeah.
Also, Microsoft Games as a Service honestly isn't about streaming. I mean, the streaming is great and it's getting better, but like downloading the game, caching it to your local hardware so that you don't have that lag, I think that's the thing that Microsoft is more leaning towards. But streaming is great, but the whole Game Pass games as a service thing is, I think, what they're really leaning on, and that's more practical, more realistic. It actually fucking works. The principle of like downloading your game, having it in your hard drive, playing it from there and then just deleting it when you're done, essentially just caching the code, I think is more the future than streaming.
Yeah, like I said, I've said this on the show, I do think there will be a point where you'll have like a Microsoft or PlayStation app on your TV, but there's still going to be some kind of hardware you could buy, even if it's something small, you know?
It's that puck. I don't know what's going on with that. We heard a lot about Microsoft working on this
like,
puck
thing. That Google shit, right? Like,
and it was supposed to be some dumb little box, and it's going to be like a Roku type of little box, and that'll have everything that you need on there and do the signaling so that way you can connect the controller and it'll come with a control. We thought they were going to announce that at their showcase, the Bethesda thing, and they didn't. They just kept the game. Who knows if whatever's up with that. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. We'll probably get all of that again. But it's weird. It's almost full circle because we did have that with the PlayStation system on TVs, and that didn't do much.
Yeah.
It was sad. And then they pulled it.
And now it's back in with Microsoft.
Now it's back.
It's interesting, man.
So I guess it comes down to the games.
Yeah. So I wouldn't, again, maybe 20 years from now, maybe consoles will be gone. But in the near future, you're good. You don't have to worry about it. You know?
You use your hands.
This generation, you're good. Obviously, next generation, I'm pretty sure you're going to have another console generation.
Be all right. According to when Uncle Phil talked about this, he said there'll always be a console. They'll never leave that because they know there's an audience, there's a market. People want a physical box. They want that. They don't want to do everything streaming. Not everybody's going to live in areas with great internet. That's just not a thing. So there'll always be a box. And everybody wants to go buy a PC. PCs are very expensive, at least decent ones with a video card. It's not cheap. It's not cheap. So it's still cheaper to get a console than it is. Hell, some video cards cost way more than just a console.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, man. Especially, recent times. Although prices have been going down, which is good. Although people, please, please do not buy any used graphics cards. Those things have been used for data mining and are just like have a lot of mileage on them. don't fucking do it. Don't do it. Don't buy any new shit.
Don't ever believe when they say slightly used.
Yeah, no. That's been ran through. Oh. Yeah, you know? Yeah. Oh, man. All right.
Gently loved.
Yeah, gently. Do not do it, people. Don't do it.
There was a spot back in the Fulton Street area that we used to go to, and they sold used games and had stickers that said "previously enjoyed."
Previously enjoyed.
Yeah, I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
Previously enjoyed.
Hilarious. All right, man. I think we're done here. Another good show. Another good show. Do we have anything to plug around here?
Nah, nothing to plug.
Nothing today. Maybe tomorrow.
Don't watch Resident Evil.
Yeah.
to unplug.
I honestly thought it was some bad Blade cosplay, that thing I've been seeing this whole weekend. I didn't realize I was broils with a shitty afro.
Let me ask you, what better is out to watch that's new?
Oh, there's plenty. There's plenty of things that are running right now.
Let's give some recommendations.
Star Trek, Strange New Worlds, that's where All Mankind, Season 3.
Stranger Things.
The Stranger Things, if you haven't seen that, that's a good one to go through.
The Boys
is that finished up, but that's jump into that. That's a fun one. Evil has been going on. That is fucking twisted.
Better Call Saul.
Oh, yeah. That's running now.
Watch Noir Alley with Eddie Muller on TCM. Mm-hmm. Since we're plugging things.
There you go. All right. So, there's plenty of stuff that's going on right now that people can watch.
I was just saying, let's give some recommendations. That was all.
I heard good things about TV, Severance.
The game, so. You know, anyway.
Oh, wait.
Light week, bro.
By the way, next week is, the San Diego Comic Con is coming back.
You're going to come again.
I remember when that mattered.
Never. Yeah, right.
You remember?
Adam, Anyway, Adam, you have anything to plug?
Nothing much. Nothing for The Walking Dead, not till August. Just plug Fallout 76. Everybody, give that a second shot. It's fun. It makes me very happy. So that's one right there.
This man speaks the true.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's all. That's it. Just go play games and enjoy life.
There you go, man. That's all you could do. Buy a Steam Deck. make sure you follow through it on Twitch and Twitter, Discord, where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. We got Throwdown Show, right? Everywhere, allwhere, every podcast app, right? Throwdownshow.com. Listen to previous episodes.
As Dusk Falls, I'm going to have my review up hopefully either tomorrow or Tuesday, but that game comes out on Tuesday. That is a legit game. That is a legit, and that's an exclusive. I did not know that. It's a Microsoft studio, and that comes out on Tuesday. Uh-oh. That one with the still frame art style with the voice work that's sort of like the Telltale's Life is Strange, but with a twist, and it's really good. I'm really surprised with the overall experience of that game. Finished it. Now I'm on my second playthrough. That is pretty good.
Make sure you check that out, The Coalition with a K.
Yeah, check it out, The Coalition.
And if you've been watching us on the YouTubes, enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vail.
Oh, have a good week, people.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Majoma.
Hey, he's people. Take it easy.
All right, guys, you already know. Maybe we'll have Chris back next week. We'll see what happens.
Yo!
Oh, man. All right. Later, people.
Later.
Peace.
Deuces. Laters.